Reading Sefer Tehillim with the commentary by Am Lois by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 29. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for myself and for yourself for listening to this tape or CD or for any of our other Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. We are holding in chapter 57, Pasuk Dalet. Yishlach mishamayim yosheini cheirev suafi selo yishlach lekim chasto vamito. He will send from heaven and deliver me when he that would swallow me taunts. Selah. Hashem will send forth His loving kindness and His truth. There are many, and I am only one. So He will send from heaven and deliver me. Hashem will send His envoys from heaven to save me. They will save me from Him that would swallow me. Their taunts, Shaul's taunts, and His desires to swallow me are relentless. Hashem will send forth His loving kindness and His truth. He will give me the throne and thus vindicate the truth of His word when in His loving kindness He appointed me to kingship. Some explain, my enemies taunted me, but He will send from heaven and deliver me. They saw no way for me to be saved in their natural way, and they did not believe the miraculous salvation from heaven. But I say that that is how it will truly come about. I do not aspire to deliverance in a natural way, but that He will send from heaven. His deliverance will come by loving kindness and by the truth of His promise to me, conveyed through the prophet that I will reign. Our sages say, and David made haste to get away for fear of Shaul. Pasuk is found in Shmuel Aleph. Said Rabbi Abba, they surrounded him like a crown, as it says, his men encompassed David. What then does make haste to get away mean? Rather, when David saw himself trapped by Shaul and his men, he began to say that for nothing had Shmuel anointed him as king. As it says, I said in my haste, every man is false. As found later on in Sefer Tehillim. Whereupon Hashem said in astonishment, Shmuel is false. I bear witness that he is truthful. Thus it says, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Shmuel is accredited a prophet of Hashem, as found in Shmuel Aleph. Immediately there came a messenger to Shaul saying, make haste and come, for the Plishtim are raiding the land. That was the messenger, an angel from heaven, as it says here, he will send from heaven and deliver me. Rabbi Yudin said it was a human envoy. Rabbi Pinchas said to him, is then an envoy and advisor that he should say, make haste and come. Indeed, it was an angel. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Nafshi besoch levoyim eshkevo lohatim b'nei odom shineim chanis v'chitzim l'shonam cherev chadom. My soul is among lions and I lie down among those who are aflame. The sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. What is the reason I am so greatly in need of divine deliverance? For my soul is captive among lions, an allusion to Shaul and his men. And I lie down among those who are aflame, the sons of men, who are full of fire and flame against me and seek to incinerate me with the breath of their mouths, and I cannot escape them. Their teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. They hurt me with their evil talk uttered by tongue and teeth. When do I fear lions' teeth? I fear them only when my soul is among lions, very near to them. When I am far away, I do not fear them. Human beings are different. They are dangerous both when they are near and when they are far. They inflict damage with their sword and with their tongue, which is a sharp sword. When I am in the desert wilderness, I find myself among lions. When I lie down among the sons of men, by their evil tongues, they harm me more than do the lions. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Ruma al Hashemayim Elikim al Kala Oretz Kivadecha. Be you exalted, O Hashem, above over the heavens. Your glory be above over all the earth. David speaks figuratively. Be you exalted, O Hashem, above the heavens, and from there subdue my enemies on earth. Your glory is over all the earth, but you do not wish to dwell upon the earth on account of these evil men. So elevate yourself, O Hashem, above the heavens in order to subdue them. When Hashem carries out judgment upon his creatures, men here on earth, they know that he is God in the heavens above and upon the earth beneath. As we find, for example, in Chumash Devarim. So you be exalted, O Hashem, above the heavens, that all may know your elevatedness as well as your supervision of those who are below. Hence your glory will be over all the earth. Having pleaded, yes, in the shadow of your wings will I take refuge until the calamities pass. David now says, even when you depart into the heavens, the wings of the divine presence hover in this world, and by your hand abundance flows upon the earth to sustain it. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Reshes heichinu lif'omai kofav nafshi koru lefonai sicha naflu besocha sela. They have prepared a net for my steps, my soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me, they fell into its cella. They have prepared a net for my steps. This alludes to what Shaul said to the Ziphites. See therefore and take note of all the lurking places where he hides himself. Again, this is a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. Every one of my enemies has bowed down my soul. They have dug a pit before me, but I'm convinced that they fell into it. The past tense, instead of they will fall into it, conveys his conviction that it will happen, as if it already happened. They had already fallen into the pit. David would say, although they possess the capacity of free choice, and no man is deprived of this freedom, Hashem will so arrange matters that after they perpetuate their evil, he will save me from falling victim to it. What makes me submissive and humble before Hashem, David says, is seeing them fall into the pit which they dug for me. Not only does he save my feet from their trap, but they themselves fall into it. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Nochon libi lakim, nochon libi ashir v'zamir. My heart is steadfast, O Hashem, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and I will sing praises. The singer says, although I am being pursued all the time, my heart is steadfast, O Hashem, my heart is steadfast. Within myself, I am certain that you will bring me deliverance. Although I am in deep distress, I will sing and I will sing praises. I will sing songs and play music before you. My heart is steadfast, O Hashem, my heart is steadfast. In the beginning, Hashem will help me overcome the inclination of my physical nature, and then my heart will be steadfast on its own. Despite all my troubles, I did not stray from the way of your Torah, neither much nor little. At all times, I rouse myself and say, awake my glory, awake lyre and harp, to make me glad, to inspire me with the Holy Spirit. Then I will awake the dawn. Although I was beset by dangers that overwhelmed my existence, my heart was steadfast, O Hashem. It was steadfast in the face of the danger, as it was before there was danger, and after it had passed. It is fitting, therefore, that I sing and play to give thanks to Hashem, that this is well. My heart is steadfast, O Hashem. It relies on you when you treat me by the attribute of stern judgment, and my heart is steadfast when you treat me by the attribute of loving kindness. Then as then, I will sing and I will sing praises. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Ura kevodi ura hanevel ivechinor or ira shocham. Awake my glory, awake lyre and harp, I will awake the dawn. The singer addresses that aspect of the soul within him called kavod, glory. He says, awake my glory, awake and be inspired, my soul. Awake lyre and harp, bestir yourselves. I will wake the dawn as the time for song, as it says in Eo, when the morning stars sang together. According to our sages, David said, it never happened that midnight passed and I was asleep. Rav Zeri says, until midnight he would drowse like a horse, Thereafter, he would overpower himself like a lion. Rav Ashi says, till midnight, he would be immersed in Torah study, thereafter taken up with songs and praises. David had a way of telling midnight. A harp was hung above his couch, and at midnight, a north wind, Ruach Tzifonis, would blow, causing it to play. He would immediately stand up and devote himself to Torah study till the rise of the morning light. Accordingly, he says here, awake my glory, awake lyre and harp, I will awaken the dawn. A subtle interpretation says that Ruach Tzifonis refers to the excellent spirit. Ruach concealed Tzifonis within them. It would blow within him until he rose. Then he would awaken the dawn. Even in times of the most terrible tribulation, he did not collapse into despondency. He would take up the harp that hung above his couch and dissolve his despair by his tears as he sang and prayed to Hashem with great faith. In Yerushalmi Talmud it says, what would David do? He would place his lyre and harp over the head of his bed, and then at midnight he would rise and play upon them. The Torah scholars hearing him play would say, if King David is immersed in Torah study, we should certainly be doing the same. The present verse reflects the three factors that contribute to deeds of excellence. Inspiration that comes from inside oneself, external means, appropriate timing, corresponding to inner motivation. David says, awake my glory, corresponding to stimulation by external means. He says, awake lyre and harp, and corresponding to the timing, he says, I will wake the dawn. When David was in the cave, and Shaul fell into his hands, he said, my heart is steadfast, O Hashem, that I should not kill Shaul. I will sing and sing praises at not having set my hand against him. Therefore, this time, awake my glory, you who are now so debased. Awake lyre and harp, which I have almost forgotten how to play. I will awake the dawn, success will begin to shine, for Shaul's and his righteousness have now declared, you are more righteous than I. I know well that you will surely be king. I will awaken the dawn. Figuratively, it is as if the dawn was asleep, and the measure of night, the period of his troubles, was very long. By sparing Shaul, it was as if he roused the dawn that terminated the night. A subtle interpretation relates the present pasuk to the exile of the Jewish people. The congregation of Israel says to the Shekhinah, awake my glory and leave the exile. She answers, awake, lyre and harp. Let me hear the music of your Torah study. Thereby I will awaken the dawn. Hashem will arouse the dawn to end the night of galus, of exile. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Odecho va'amim adonoi azamercho bal umim. I will give thanks to you, O Hashem, among the nations. I will sing praises to you among the peoples. When I give thanks and sing praises, I am not alone. I will give thanks to you, O Hashem, among the nations, among the tribes of Israel. I will sing praises to you among the peoples, among the Jewish communities. Thus it says, they will call the nations Amim to the mountain, as found in Chumash Devarim. And it says, beyond you, Binyamin, in your tribes, B'merecho, as Pasuk is found in Sefer Shoftim. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Ki gadol ad shemayim chastecho v'ad shechokim amitecho. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens, and your truth to the skies. Why must I give thanks and sing praises? For your loving kindness is great, so great that it reaches to the heavens, and your truth to the skies. You will fulfill what you have promised, for your truth is so great it reaches to the skies. As it says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so his loving kindness is great towards them that fears him. This is a pasuk that's found later on in Sefer Tehillim. Great to the heavens. All stand in need of your mercy and loving kindness, from the gnat inside the earth all the way up to the archangels. I said that you are exalted above the heavens, but your supervision is constantly upon the earth, for without it everything would return to emptiness and desolation. The Talmud says that Rava asked, how is it that it says here, for your loving kindness is great to the heavens? And it says, for your loving kindness is great above the heavens. The answer is that here it refers to those who act without ulterior motives, and there it refers to those who act with ulterior motives. This concurs with the teaching of Yehuda in the name of Rav, that a man should always occupy himself with the Torah and perform mitzvahs, even if not from pure motives. By acting out of impure motives, he will come to act out of pure motives. When you act out of ulterior motives, your love and kindness is great to the heavens, only in this netherworld. But when you are a tzaddik and act out of pure motives, your truth is to the skies, schokim. This refers to the reward of the righteous bishokim, in disguise in the world to come. Their mun is ground up, shuchakim, for the righteous. Pasuk 12. Ruma al shamayim alikim al kol ha'oretz kevedecha. Be exalted, O Hashem, above over the heavens. Your glory be above over all the earth. The singer repeats once again, for emphasis, his earlier plea. Your loving kindness is great to the heavens, and your truth to the skies, for you created them. Although in the end they will be destroyed, nevertheless, your loving kindness and your truth are evident in your having created them. Indeed, your sovereignty will be splendidly evident when you raise your arm against the process of nature to judge your world by the pattern of your miraculous supervision. The pasuk also speaks of the future, when Hashem will command the celestial host on high. It will be said on high, "You are exalted, O Hashem." When He then commands all the kings on earth, it will be said upon the earth, "Your glory is over all the earth." Chapter 58. Pasuk 1. Am Nesayach al Tashches to David Michtav, for the conductor al Tashches do not destroy. Pasuk Beis Umnom Eilem Tzedek to the Aberim Mishorim Tishbetu Bnei Odom. Psalm of David, a Michtam, are you indeed silent? You are to speak justice, you are to judge people uprighteously. In this psalm, David warns against judges who pervert justice. Some say that he refers to Abner the son of Ner and the other princes and ministers of Shaul. They condemned him for rebelling against the throne and thereby justified Shaul's vindictive pursuit of him to take his life. Accordingly, our sages teach, Shaul said to David, "You are more righteous than I," as found in Shmuel Aleph. "If you had fallen into my hands, I would have killed you, but I fell into your hands, and you did not kill me." When Shaul exited from the cave, Shaul's warriors said to him, "Just because David did not kill you inside the cave, he has become a tzaddik. If he has set his hand against you, we would have pulled him out of there and cut him up limb by limb." Shaul immediately accepted their words and continued to persecute him. Whereupon David set out at once for the wilderness of Ziph. Then it happened that David and Avishai came to the people by night, and behold, Shaul lay sleeping within the enclosure, for a deep sleep from Hashem had descended upon him. Then Avishai said to David, "Hashem has delivered your enemy into your hand this day." And David said to Avishai, "Do not destroy him." This is the allusion here of Lamedseach al Tashches, "To the victor do not destroy." David added, "As Hashem lives, Hashem will smite him." "Why, Lord?" twice he said to him, to Avishai, "As the Lord lives, do not kill him. As Hashem lives, if you do kill him, I will kill you." Others say that David was shouting at an evil nation that wanted to kill Shaul. So David took the spear and the jar of water when David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, "Will you not answer Abner? The first time when I spared Shaul's life at the cave, you said to him, 'If he had done anything to you, we would have cut up his flesh.' What have you to answer now?" But Abner fell silent. David says here what he then told Abner, "Are you indeed silent? You are to speak justice. You are to judge people uprighteously. Do you even pursue justice? Are you then dumb that you do not speak the truth?" David challenges them, "Has the justice you were meant to proclaim been silenced in your mouths? Where is the uprighteousness and judgment that you should be speaking?" Some translate Elam as bringing it together, as in binding sheaves, ma'almim alumim, as we find the pasuk in Chumash Bereishis. Accordingly, David says to them, do you indeed come to judge as a righteous company? Do you speak justice? Do you judge people uprighteously? The Talmud says, the world has no existence except through him who places constraints upon himself. During a quarrel, as it says, he hangs the earth upon restraint. Rabbi Boaz says, through him who renders himself speechless. Does this include one who is silent when it comes to Torah study? No, and hence it says, you are to speak righteousness. Does this include one who is silent out of pride? No, hence it says, you are to judge people uprighteously. All talking lessens a person's life, except speaking words of Torah, which on the contrary gives one life. This also holds true for judging people favorably, as it says, you are to speak justice. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Af belev olos tif'olun ba'oretz chamas yedeichem tifalesun. Even in your heart you commit wickedness on the earth. Your hands deal out violence. David tells them, you commit wrongdoing not only in deed, your hands deal out violence, but also in thought. Even in your heart you commit wickedness on the earth. Another interpretation says, the wrong you do is not due to a lack of intelligence, but even in your heart you commit wickedness. You use your intelligence for wrongdoing. Your hands deal out violence. You commit violence with your hands, and then you proclaim it publicly as if it had been a well-considered balance act. Alternatively, you weigh carefully which is the greater evil and then commit it. Even in your heart, in those things which reason also forbids, namely the eventually plausible commandments, you commit wickedness on the earth. Your hands deal out violence. When the rationale commandments are deliberately transgressed by violent deeds, there's no other explanation except that the wicked are estranged from the womb. Then again, David says, if you commit wrongdoing, that is not by chance. The root of it is in the heart. The proof, when your hands deal out violence, they do not tremble. You set them forth, and they are steady. They do not shake. Even in your heart you commit wickedness. The heart, understanding, was created only for truth, as it says, and speaks truth in his heart. But you act differently. Even in your heart you commit wickedness. The wrongdoing was an act of free will, committed after much careful thought. The term falson means literally to balance evenly, as when one uses a balance scale for weighing. Hence, the oretz chomas yedechem taflosum is interpreted literally as follows. If you were to weigh your violence against the immensely massive earth, the violence would weigh more. Through your violence, you incline the entire world to weigh down the scale to condemnation. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Zoru Rishoim Meirochem To'u Mibeten Dovrei Chozov. The wicked are estranged from the womb. The speakers of falsehood go astray from birth, the belly. The wicked are naturally predisposed from the womb to commit strange deeds. Alternatively, from the womb they are strangers to Hashem. While still inside the belly, the speakers of falsehood go astray. Accordingly, regarding the pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis, and the children struggled with her, our sages teach that whenever Rivka passed by the door of a temple where idols were worshipped, Esau would tremble to come out. From their birth, they are different from other children. David says to them, by your evil deeds, it is certain that you do not stem from holy seed. There is a disqualifying flaw in your ancestry. Pasuk 5. Chamas lamo kidmus chamas nochosh kmo pesen cheresh yatem ozno. The venom is like the venom of a serpent. They are like the deaf asp that stops up its ear. The venom is like the venom of a snake. But whereas snakes can be controlled by snake charmers, they are like the deaf asp that stops up its ear. As the snake ages, it becomes deaf in one ear, and the other ear it plugs with earth so that it's not to hear the incantation of the charmer, compelling it not to cause injury. Their venom is like the venom which the serpent placed in Chava, and this caused them to become deaf through the discipline of the Torah. Hence, they also speak falsehood, just as the serpent spoke lies to Chava. The wickedness of these evil men does not stem from passion, but from their evil natures. They commit transgression without deriving any pleasure from it, just as the snake harms a person with his venom without deriving any benefit for itself. Nor do they want to listen to rebuke. They are like the deaf asp, unlike the man who sins out of passion and then responds to rebuke. As it says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. It's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Mishlei. He is stupid because a wise man who has sinned then welcomes admonition, and there is hope for him. There is no hope with someone who despises admonition. In his lack of discernment, he resembles the beast. Some explain that the scripture alludes to the exile of the Jewish people. Their oppressors have but one purpose in mind, to rob the Jews of their possessions. Your hands deal out violent robbery. You pretend to carry out justice, but in reality you find them guilty under some pretext in order to confiscate their wealth, as happened during the time of the Inquisition. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Ashlo yishma lekol melachashim chover chavorim mechukam. So as not to hearken to the voice of charmers of the most cunning spell binder. Here the singer explains what he meant by the deaf asp that stops up its ear. Namely, not to hearken to the voice of charmers. Charmers know how to charm a snake, not to bite, but this one will not hearken even to the most cunning spellbinder. No strategy works to curtail a gossipmonger who uses his tongue for an evil purpose. Thus it says, if the snake bites without a charm whispered, there is no advantage to the man of charmed tongue, as found in Koheles. David alludes to judges who do not attend to the plea of the innocent, but rule in accordance with their wishes. They keep their ears from hearing, just as their ears were stopped up when they were still in their mother's bellies. This also alludes to what David said to Abner and his men when they claimed that the edge of Saul's cloak was ripped off by a thorn. Even when he showed them the spear and the jar of water, which he subsequently took away from the sleeping Saul, found in Shmuel Aleph, they did not believe him. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk 7, Elohim Haros Shinemo Befimo Maltaos Kefirim Nesos Hashem. Break their teeth, O Hashem, in their mouth. Break out the cheek teeth of the young lions, O Hashem. David turns to Hashem with a plea. Break their teeth, O Hashem, in their mouth to keep them from biting. Similarly, he said earlier, their teeth are spears and arrows. Smash not only their front teeth, but also the cheek teeth used for chewing to keep them from doing any kind of harm. Break their teeth, since the venom of the snake is located in its teeth. Its teeth are likened to the fangs of young lions for tearing and devouring prey. Break their teeth, because he has compared his enemies to snakes. David asked that Hashem break their teeth to stop the further flow of venom. He refers to those who speak evil against him. As for those who were sent to kill him, he says, break out the cheek teeth of the young lions that are like the sharp swords. Teeth are formed to function as a wall for the tongue, to keep it from speaking evil. Because they speak evil, break their teeth. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Yimo'asu chamo mayim yishalchu lamo yidroch chitzav chamo yismololu. Loathsome, let them run off like water. When he aims his arrows, let them be as if he cuts down in pieces. Let them become loathsome in their own eyes from worry. Let them run off like water and vanish. When he aims his arrows, let them be as if already cut down. Let them run off like water. Why are the wicked likened to water? As it says in Yeshayahu, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, for all the putrid smells of the wicked are on their lips. By analogy, the raging sea brings up slime and dirt, which it deposits on the shore. When the waves recede, the slime and dirt remain. Here, similarly, the wicked are loathsome, even as water backs off
and what is loathsome remains. When Hashem will break the teeth in his mouth because he aims his arrows of evil talk, they will be as if cut down. Elsewhere too, the Torah likens evil speech to arrows who have sinned, who have aimed their arrows as a poisoned sword, as we're going to learn later on in Sefer Tehillim. About those who through flattery ingratiated themselves with Sheol, David says further that in the end they will become despicable to him. That is the fate of the flatterer. At the outset he is loved by the person he flatters, but in the end he is despised. It is different when one admonishes a friend. In the beginning the friend does not like him, but in the end he appreciates him. As it says, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterwards than he who flatters with the tongue. A passage that's found in Mishlei.
Please turn tape over to side B.
David pleads, before they even aim their arrows to speak against me, let them be cut off measure for measure. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Kemo Shablul Temes Yaloch Nefel Eshes Baal Chazu Shamesh. Let them be like the snail that melts as it slithers away, like the stillbirth of a woman, a mole that has not seen the sun. Let them be like the snail that melts as it slithers away, like a woman's stillbirth. Neither has ever seen the sun. The snail remains inside its shell that covers it like a perpetual garment, and it says, a hidden, untimely birth I had not been, as infants that never saw the light. A passage that's found in Eov. Instead of a woman, Ashes also means a mole. It has no eyes to see the sun. Because the evildoer destroys himself, the singer likens his evil persecutors to a snail that melts as it slithers. David further asks that their offspring be as one born before its time, like a mole without eyes, that their children be born blind. The snail does not actually melt. While moving, it exudes a moist substance to ease it along. This resembles the way of the flatterer. At the outset, he gets close to the person as if to share his pain, but then he speaks evil against him. Our sages explain, the snail disintegrates in its own waste, and the mole never quite manages to see the sun before returning below ground. The adulterous wife is ashamed of her fetus and casts out during the night prematurely. It does not see the sun. They explain further, three creatures are different from all the other creatures, the mole, the snake, and the frog. If the mole could see the light, no other creature could withstand it. If the snake had legs, it would chase after the horse and kill it on the run. If the frog had teeth, no creature could enter the water in its presence. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. V'terem yovinu sirosecham, otad kemo chai kemo choron yisorenum. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he will sweep it away with a whirlwind, the raw and the burning alike. Different interpretations of this pasuk correspond to different readings of Sirosechem. Whether your pots or your pliant briars, young thorns shoots. The atad is a dry or hardened old thorn. In the latter meaning, the pasuk says, before your young shoots, Sirosechem, that is, the young offspring of the wicked, will be weaned. Yavinu is here linked to Avyonah, to become hardened thorns, mature evildoers, while they are still moist with life. He will sweep them away as with a whirlwind. In other words, before they can reach the day of their natural death, Hashem will storm at them and sweep them away in great fury while they are still in the fullness of life. Whereas Chai means the young, Charon means the mature, Hashem will cut off and sweep them both away. Some explain their destruction will be swift, like raw meat that is placed on the fire to kindle by thorns and consumed by the flames. When they are still robust and in full strength, Hashem will descend upon them with devastating wrath. Compare the words of the prophet Yechezkel, where a similar metaphor denotes the destruction of Yishlaim. Other parable for the rebellious house, set on the pot Seor, a metaphor for Yishlaim, cut out a piece of her inhabitants. A pasuk is found in Sefer Yecheskel. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Yismach Tzadik Yichazu Nakom Be'omach Yirchaz B'dam Harasha. The righteous man will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. When the righteous man beholds the vengeance inflicted upon the wicked, he will rejoice. He will wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. This is a metaphorical description of the immense joy of the tzaddik at seeing Hashem's glory exalted. Some explain that David expresses his joy at the death of Doeg. Doeg had been responsible for Shaul's death in the war, and David killed him. He says, let the righteous man, meaning himself, rejoice because he saw vengeance done for the killing of Shaul. Let him wash his feet in the blood of the wicked man. He did not rejoice when those who had wronged him personally were punished. Pasuk Yudbeis, Pasuk 12. Ve'yomer Adam, ach peri letzadik, ach yesh lekim shoftim boris. And men will say, indeed, there is a reward for the righteous. Indeed, there is a God judging in the earth. Every man will then say, indeed, there is a reward for the righteous. The good deeds of the tzaddik bear fruit, and he will behold the vengeance inflicted upon his enemies. Men will say, indeed, there is God judging the earth. The wicked say that God does not see, but when they are punished, they see that there is a God judging in the earth. Our sages teach that the pasuk pertains to Esav, who was killed during Yaakov's burial in the Moris of Machpelah. It also pertains to Mordechai, who saw vengeance inflicted upon Haman. Chapter 59, Pasuk 1. Lam Natzeach al Tashches le David Michtom Beshloach Shaul Vayishmu Sabayis Lamiso. For the conductor El Tashches, a psalm of David. Michtom and Shaul sent, and they watched the house to kill him. King David composed the present chapter of Tillim after Saul dispatched agents to watch his house and kill him. No matter what, that David was Shaul's son-in-law and Michal's husband, that Michal saved him through a ruse by lowering him from a window. This is recorded in Sefer Shmuel. Shaul's agents not only watched for David, but watched the house. They went beyond Shaul's instructions. This chapter of Tillim continues the previous chapter, which speaks of David having mercifully spared Shaul's life where they confronted each other out in the field, as we find in Shmuel Aleph. Yet here Shaul sent agents to kill David in his own home. For the conductor, a song of praise for Hashem. It is the way of the righteous man to express song and praise when he finds himself in the very thick of his troubles. Thus the Torah says this in the case of Yehoshaphat. They went out before the army. They began to sing and to praise. A pasuk is found in Divrei Hayamim. David gives thanks for the miracle that Shaul had not instructed his agents to bring him in at once. Instead, had them wait until morning when David will have left the house. For Shaul did not want his daughter Michal to witness her husband's death. This gave him enough time to save himself. This interpretation is based on the particular phrasing of the pasuk, namely, the David calls out, for the conductor, Hashem has called out, Al Tashchet, do not destroy David. This also explains why Shaul had sent his agents who could not enter the house rather than having come in person to kill David. Both Abner and Shaul were righteous men who persecuted David in the mistaken belief that he was guilty of rebellion against Shaul. For this reason, David did not pray for their death, but only asked that Hashem save him from their hands. By contrast, he prayed for the death of the wicked Doeg and Achitophel. Pasuk Beis, Hatzileni me'oyuvai Elohim miskoymemai tesagveni. Save me from my enemies, O my Hashem. Set me on high from them that rise up against me. When David found himself in this situation, he pleaded before Hashem, save me from my enemies, O my Hashem. Save me from Shaul and his men now lying in wait for me. Also set me high from them that rise up against me. Make me secure like a man who stands on top of a fortress and feel secure from the intrigue of Shaul's advisors. David prayed for deliverance from two kinds of danger facing him, from the Plishtim with whom he was constantly at war, and from Shaul, who was smitten by jealousy ever since David smote the Plishtim. As it says, "And David went out and fought with the Plishtim, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And an evil spirit from Hashem came upon Shaul, as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand. And David played with his hand, and Shaul sought to smite David even to the wall with the spear." It's found in Shmuel Aleph. Accordingly, David says here, "Save me from my enemies, O my God," which he refers to the Plishtim. "Set me on high from them that rise up against me out of envy, because these men are close to me. I need very great strength to withstand them. Save me from my enemies below, and set me high from them that rise up against me on high. Whoever has enemies below has enemies on high. As the Chachamim teach, if the spirit of the people is happy with him, the spirit of God is happy with him." Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. "Hatileni mi po'olei overnu mi anchi domim hoshieni. Save me from the workers of iniquity and deliver me from the men of blood." David continues his entreaty. "Save me from the workers of iniquity, Shaul, who sent them to commit this crime, and deliver me from the men of blood, the agents who were sent to shed my blood." David prayed for deliverance from four different kinds of enemies. There were those who were out to kill him because they thought that he wanted to wrest the throne from Shaul. They feared that after disposing of Shaul, he would also dispose of them. He says concerning them, "Save me from my enemies, O my Shem." Others considered it a mitzvah to kill him because they judged him to be guilty of rebellion against the king. David says of these, "Set me on high from them that rise against me." Others were simply eager for spoils, impatient to plunder his possessions and take his place. Regarding them, he says, "Save me from the workers of iniquity." Finally, regarding the men designing evil who were thirsting for his blood, he said, "Deliver me from the men of blood." Some explain, David asked to be saved from the workers of deception, a null here linked to own. It refers to those who pretended they were acting against him out of coercion. They were afraid of Shaul, when in fact they had chosen to oppose him. He also asked for deliverance from the men of blood who attacked him openly. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. "Kinei orvu l'nafshi yoguru olai azim lo pishi v'lochatosi Hashem. For behold, they lie in wait for my soul. The impudent gather themselves together against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Hashem." The singer explains why he continues to plead so much. "For behold, they lie in wait for my soul. They do not come for my money, but for my life. And the impudent gather themselves together against me. They are strong, and I cannot hope to save myself, for their hearts are fierce, and they will show me no mercy. If I were guilty of transgression and sin, I would keep silent. But this is not due to my transgression, nor for my sin, O Hashem." David asked for deliverance on three grounds. For one, they deal deceitfully, and Hashem hates treachery. He cannot look upon iniquity. A pasuk that's found in Habakkuk. Hence it says, "They lie in wait for me, and I cannot protect myself from them." Secondly, "They are mightier than I am, and Hashem seeks to pursue." A pasuk that's found in Kehelis. Hence it says, "The impudent gathered themselves together against me, and they are stronger than me." Thirdly, "They persecute me for no just reason." Therefore, he says here, "Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Hashem. The impudent gather themselves together against me, but I am not perturbed. Let many gather against me, so long as there is no transgression or sin with me. I do not fear for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Hashem. What I fear is that they should not add transgression or sin to me." When a person makes his dwelling place in the shadow of truth and uprightness, then even when troubles come upon him, in the end he will be as the sun when it comes out in its might. a pasuk that's found in Sefer Shoftim. Accordingly, David says, princesses have persecuted me without cause. If princesses have persecuted without cause, they put themselves out in vain. What do I fear? My heart stands in awe of your word. Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Hashem, was Shaul's envy aroused against me. It was because the woman saying, Shaul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Again, this is found in Shmuel Aleph. Pasuk 5, Bli avon yerutzun v'kornonu uro lekrasi urei. Without inquity on my part, they run and prepare themselves. Awaken towards me to help me, and behold, how evil is their way. Without inquity on my part, they run and prepare themselves to kill me. Awaken towards me and come to my rescue. Let your eyes behold the evil they conspire against me, though there is no wrongdoing in my hands. Because my heart is awake before you in prayer, awaken towards me, and behold, once you see, you will be filled with compassion for me. They run to afflict me even more than what Shaul had commanded them to do. They are convinced that what they do to me is without inquity. That is not wrong. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. V'ata Hashem l'kim sevo'o shalakei Yisrael hakitza l'fkot kol agoyim hatochon kol bogdei oven selo. You therefore, O Hashem, God of hosts, the God of Israel, arouse yourself to punish all the nations. Show no mercy to any inquisitors, traitors, Selah. King David saw that his generation was not meritorious, since they were persecuting him for no crime or sin on his part. Instead of reprimanding Shaul for his injustice, the judges flattered him and favored his cause. He thus foresaw that the Jewish people would suffer the same fate in the days of their exile, for as was explained in the introduction to this work, David reflected his troubles in the troubles of the people of Israel. Hence he pleads for their sake in the future, arouse yourself to punish all the nations, show no mercy to any inquisitors, traitors. After the wicked will have been exterminated, those who remain will serve Hashem. You, Hashem, God of hosts, the God of Israel, arouse yourself. Punish them yourself rather than through an envoy, that they do everything treacherously. How do we know that everything David says pertains to himself and to all the Jewish people? For it says, I'm an example to many. Just as Shaul rose up against David for no wrong on his part, so will the nations rise up against Israel for no wrong on their part. However, just as Hashem arranged matters in order to save him, so will he cause Israel to be saved. At the present time, when Israel is in exile, it is as if God pretends to be asleep. As it says, Hashem awakened as one asleep. Hence David says, alluding to the exile, arouse yourself to punish all the nations. In the future, when the end comes, Hashem will arouse himself for their sake. At that time, show no mercy to any inquisitors, traitors. In another interpretation, arouse pertains to the nations. Let not the nations of the future find any defense for having persecuted the Jewish people. Arouse the sleeping nations who think that you are not a just judge. Judge me justly now, so that you will then justly punish the nations for their sin. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Yashuvu le'erev yamu ha'cholev yisovu v'ir. They return at evening, they howl like a dog, and go around about the city. Pasuk Ches, Hine yabiyun befihem karovos besifsoseihem kimi shomeya. Behold, they rave out with their mouth, swords are on their lips, for who hears? David speaks once again about his persecutors. When they do not find him during the day, his enemies return in the evening, hoping to find him at home and kill him there. When they do not find him, they howl like a dog and go around about the city on every side to apprehend him if he tries to leave. Or else it means perhaps that Shaul dispatched other agents to roam the city like dogs to search for him in the streets and the marketplaces. He likens his foes to dogs who do their master's bidding to bite any righteous person who crosses their path. Shaul's servants were like dogs, because they ate his bread, they obeyed him. Some say that he likens them to a mad dog roaming the fire streets, its mouth open, saliva dripping, howling, but without a sound being heard. Thus, he says, they return at evening. They howl like a dog gone mad, go around about the city. They prowl the outlying streets to speak their malice. Behold, they rave with their mouth, words that flow like poisoned saliva, swords in their lips, but who hears? Similarly, the voice of a mad dog is not heard.
While searching for me, they repeat terrible things about me. Behold, they rave out with their mouth, swords are on their lips. They say that when they will find me, they will pierce me with their swords. They say this when standing outside, for who hears? They think that David, who's inside, cannot hear them, but he hears. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Beato Hashem tishak lomo tilag lechol goyim. But you, O Hashem, will laugh at them, you will mock all the nations. David asked that their words be of no avail, but you, O Hashem, will laugh at them. So their words will cause me no harm. You will mock all the nations who deny you to annul their words and their thoughts. Our Chachamim relate this pasuk to the war of Gog and Magog, as David said, why are the nations in uproar against Hashem and against His anointed? He that sits enthroned in heaven laughs, he mocks them. Thus it says, on that day there will be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and all the men that are upon the face of the earth will shake at my presence. A pasuk that are found in Cheskel. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Uzo Elecha Eshmora Ki Elikim Iskabi. Because of his strength I will wait for you, for Hashem is my high tower. The singer declares, because of his strength I will wait for you to save me from his might. For Hashem, in whose hand is the power and the strength, is my high tower. I have no other fortress besides you. Although he is at this time in his full aggressive strength, I will look to you and in you place my hope. The same pasuk is repeated at the conclusion of the present psalm, except that there it alludes to the time when he will reign in his kingdom. Hence it says here, I will wait, whereas there he says, I will sing praises. A subtle interpretation says, I learn from his strength and ferocity how I must serve you, wait for you. Similarly, our sages have explained, go against the foolish man. A pasuk is found in Mishle. Whatever the fool does, do the opposite. As it also says, from my enemies, make me wise. It's a pasuk that's found later on in Tehillim. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Elohei chasto yikadmeni alakim yareni besoroi. The God of my loving kindness will come to meet me. Hashem will let me gaze upon my adversaries. The singer expresses his trust in Hashem, who will come to meet me. He has always acted in my behalf with loving kindness, and he will continue to do so at this time. He will come to meet me before my enemies notice me. Hashem will look upon those who peer at me with an evil gaze and subdue them. The loving kindness that Hashem extends to a king to help him in his wars will come to meet me even before I actually begin to reign. He will let me gaze upon my adversaries when I am avenged. Another reading says Hashem will also take into account my acts of loving kindness that I will do in the future. Literally, Hashem will cause my loving kindness to meet me, that is, before their time. Hashem will reckon in my favor the loving kindness I perform, even though he came to meet me with the strength to do so. The loving kindness that I perform for the Jewish people by fighting their wars will come to meet me, and I will gaze upon my adversaries. I will behold the downfall of my enemies who repay me with evil for good. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Al tahar game pen yishkuchu ami ani emo bechelcho behoridemo maginenu adornoi. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. Make them wander to and fro by your power, and bring them low, O Hashem, our shield. Although I have asked that you let me graze at my adversaries when vengeance strikes them, I did not mean for you to slay them. For a dead man is forgotten, and the people do not see the judgment. Rather, make them wander to and fro by your power, and bring them low. Let them wander from place to place like kine, and bring them down from their lofty station. This form of punishment is more harsh than death, and the Jewish people will not forget the judgment when they continue to see them all the time. They will understand that Hashem is our shield. As already noted earlier, some explained that David did not ask for the death of Sheol and Avner, only that they be punished during their lifetime, for they were righteous men who simply erred in their judgment of David. His plea concerning them was thus quite different from his plea for the destruction of Doeg and Achitophel. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Chatas pimo devars fasemo v'yilachtu b'g'onam me'olo mikachash yisaperu. For the sin of their mouth is the word of their lips. They have been snared in their pride, and because of their curse and falsehood they speak. After they are punished, cursed to wander to and fro without roots, they, the Jewish people, will not forget the judgment. On the contrary, everyone will say they have been punished for the sin of their mouth and the word of their lips. Because they have been snared in their pride, their punishment is to suffer degradation measure for measure. As a result, after they have been afflicted by the curse and the falsehood, futility, and poverty they speak, they tell everyone of the harsh judgment against them. Pasuk Yudalit Kalei Bechema Kalei Veinemo Beyedu Kilakim Moshe Beyakov LaAfseh HaOretz Sela. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they be no more, and let them know that Hashem rules in Yaakov to the ends of the earth, Sela. The singer pleads, consume them in wrath, consume them, that is, bit by bit. Do not let them return to their precious previous station. In the end, let them be no more, entirely removed from the world. Thereby, you will let them know that Hashem rules in Yaakov. Corresponding to what he said above, lest my people forget, he says here they will know that not the pattern of nature as determined by the stars rules Israel, but that God rules in Yaakov. He rules even to the ends of the earth, and he rules forever, Selah. A subtle interpretation says, consume them in wrath that they be no more. Totally consume their wickedness. Earlier he had entreated, simply make them wander to and fro by your power. Their wickedness will then naturally come to an end. Consume them, consume them. Let their wickedness terminate again and again until they be no more entirely eradicated. They will know that God rules in Yaakov to the ends of the earth, Selah. Hashem rules in Yaakov, as it says, you are my witnesses, says Hashem, a pasuk in Yeshayahu. The people of Israel bear witnesses to Hashem. David asked that Hashem punish those who merely pretend to be righteous. However, as their punishment results in the profanation of God's name, people say that he punishes the righteous, hence there is no justice or judge. He pleads that they be snared in the sin of their mouth. Everyone will then recognize them as wicked, and they will be snared in their pride. Hashem will consume them, and everyone will know that Hashem rules in Yaakov to the ends of the earth, Selah. Pasuk Tesva, Pasuk 15, Vayushuvu le'erev yehumu kach cholev yisobu v'ir, and they return at evening, they howl like a dog and go round about the city. Corresponding to what he said earlier, that they return at evening is searching me and howl like a dog. David says here, in retribution for having done so, they will be cursed to go round about the city in the evening, door to door, begging for bread. Some explain that the pasuk refers to the guards left behind by David to guard his house when he fled before Absalom. On that occasion he said that when his enemies return the next evening and do not find him, they will howl like dogs and go around about the city looking for him. Pasuk Tes Zion, Pasuk 16. Heimo yenuin lechol im lo yusbu v'yalinu. They wander about to eat if they will not have their fill that they may sleep. These people will continue to wander to and fro begging for bread. They will not have their fill and thus go to sleep unsated. A subtle interpretation is based on the dictum of the Gemara that says whoever eats alya, the fat tail of a sheep, must sleep in the loft of the house. A
in order to escape the creditors, and whoever eats the greens may even sleep in the city's garbage dump. Similarly, the singer says here, they wander about to eat. If they eat too much, they must wander about from place to place to escape their creditors. But if they will not have their fill, then they may sleep serenely anywhere. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Pasuk 17. Ta'anir oshir uzecho varanin laboker chazdecho ki hoyizo miskovli umanos biyom tsarli. But as for me, I will sing of your strength. Yes, I will praise in song your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my high tower and the refuge in the day of my distress. But as for me, I am not like them. I will sing of your strength. Yes, I will praise in song your loving kindness in the morning. Your strength has been my high tower. Your loving kindness has been a refuge in the day of my distress. The Medrash says, in the future, I will sing of your strength. As it says, behold, Hashem is my deliverance. I will trust and not be afraid. A pasuk that is found in Yeshayahu. The deliverance of the Jewish people from Mitzrayim was in preparation for the future deliverance. As it says, as in the days of your coming out of the land of Mitzrayim, I will show marvelous things. Pasuk that's found in Micha. Thus the singer says here, the God of my loving kindness will come to meet me. He asked that loving kindness be ready for the future deliverance when I will sing of your strength. Pasuk Yudches. Uzi Elecho Azameira Ki Elikim Miskabi Elohei Chasti. O my strength, to you will I sing praises, for Hashem is my high tower, the God of my loving kindness. The singer continues, after I will have been saved from my enemies, I will not be among those who say, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me all this wealth. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Rather, I will sing of my strength to you who has given me my strength, for God is my high tower.
We are learning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary by Am Lois by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 29. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for myself and for yourself for listening to this tape or CD or for any of our other Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. We are holding in chapter 57, Pasuk Dalet. Yishlach mishamayim yosheini cheirev suafi selo yishlach lekim chasto vamito. He will send from heaven and deliver me when he that would swallow me taunts. Selah. Hashem will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. There are many, and I am only one. So he will send from heaven and deliver me. Hashem will send his envoys from heaven to save me. They will save me from him that would swallow me, their taunts. Shaul's taunts and his desires to swallow me are relentless. Hashem will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. He will give me the throne and thus vindicate the truth of his word when in his loving kindness he appointed me to kingship. Some explain, my enemies taunted me, but he will send from heaven and deliver me. They saw no way for me to be saved in a natural way, and they did not believe a miraculous salvation from heaven. But I say that that is how it will truly come about. I do not aspire to deliverance in a natural way, but that he will send from heaven. His deliverance will come by loving kindness and by the truth of his promise to me, conveyed through the prophet that I will reign. Our sages say, and David made haste to get away for fear of Shaul. Pasuk is found in Shmuel Aleph. Said Rabbi Abba, they surrounded him like a crown, as it says, his men encompassed David. What then does make haste to get away mean? Rather, when David saw himself trapped by Shaul and his men, he began to say that for nothing had Shmuel anointed him as king. As it says, I said in my haste, every man is false. It's found later on in Sefer Tehillim. Whereupon Hashem said in astonishment, Shmuel is false. I bear witness that he is truthful. Thus it says, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Shmuel is accredited a prophet of Hashem. It's found in Shmuel Aleph. Immediately there came a messenger to Shaul saying, make haste and come, for the Plishtim are raiding the land. That was the messenger, an angel from heaven. As it says here, he will send from heaven and deliver me. Rabbi Yudin said it was a human envoy. Rabbi Pinchas said to him, is then an envoy and advisor that he should say, make haste and come? Indeed, it was an angel. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Nafshi b'soch levoyim eshkevo lohatim b'nei odom shineim chanis v'chitzim l'shonim cherev chadom. My soul is among lions, and I lie down among those who are aflame. The sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. What is the reason I am so greatly in need of divine deliverance? For my soul is captive among lions, an allusion to Shaul and his men. And I lie down among those who are aflame, the sons of men, who are full of fire and flame against me and seek to incinerate me with the breath of their mouths, and I cannot escape them. Their teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. They hurt me with their evil talk uttered by tongue and teeth. When do I fear lions' teeth? I fear them only when my soul is among lions, very near to them. When I am far away, I do not fear them. Human beings are different. They are dangerous both when they are near and when they are far. They inflict damage with their sword and with their tongue, which is a sharp sword. When I am in the desert wilderness, I find myself among lions. When I lie down among the sons of men, by their evil tongues, they harm me more than do the lions. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Ruma al Hashemayim Melekim al Kol Ha'aretz Kivadecha. Be you exalted, O Hashem, above over the heavens. Your glory be above over all the earth. David speaks figuratively. Be you exalted, O Hashem, above the heavens, and from there subdue my enemies on earth. Your glory is over all the earth, but you do not wish to dwell upon the earth on account of these evil men. So elevate yourself, O Hashem, above the heavens in order to subdue them. When Hashem carries out judgment upon his creatures, men here on earth, they know that he is God in the heavens above and upon the earth beneath. As we find, for example, in Chumash Devarim, so you be exalted, O Hashem, above the heavens, that all may know your elevatedness as well as your supervision of those who are below. Hence your glory will be over all the earth. Having pleaded, yes, in the shadow of your wings will I take refuge until the calamity is past. David now says, even when you depart into the heavens, the wings of the divine presence hover in this world, and by your hand abundance flows upon the earth to sustain it. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Reshes heichinu lefomai kofav nafshi koru lefonai sicha naflu besocha sela. They have prepared a net for my steps, my soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me, they fell into its cellar. They have prepared a net for my steps. This alludes to what Shaul said to the Ziphites. See therefore and take note of all the lurking places where he hides himself. Again, this is a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. Every one of my enemies has bowed down my soul, they have dug a pit before me, but I'm convinced they fell into it. The past tense, instead of they will fall into it, conveys his conviction that it will happen, as if it already happened. They had already fallen into the pit. David would say, although they possess the capacity of free choice, and no man is deprived of this freedom, Hashem will so arrange matters that after they perpetuate their evil, he will save me from falling victim to it. What makes me submissive and humble before Hashem, David says, is seeing them fall into the pit which they dug for me. Not only does he save my feet from their trap, but they themselves fall into it. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Nochon libi lakim, nochon libi ashir v'zamir. My heart is steadfast, O Hashem, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and I will sing praises. The singer says, although I am being pursued all the time, my heart is steadfast, O Hashem, my heart is steadfast. Within myself, I am certain that you will bring me deliverance. Although I am in deep distress, I will sing and I will sing praises. I will sing songs and play music before you. My heart is steadfast, O Hashem, my heart is steadfast. In the beginning, Hashem will help me overcome the inclination of my physical nature, and then my heart will be steadfast on its own. Despite all my troubles, I did not stray from the way of your Torah, neither much nor little. At all times I rouse myself and say, awake my glory, awake lyre and harp, to make me glad, to inspire me with the Holy Spirit. Then I will awake the dawn. Although I was beset by dangers that overwhelmed my existence, my heart was steadfast, O Hashem. It was steadfast in the face of the danger, as it was before there was danger, and after it had passed. It is fitting, therefore, that I sing and play to give thanks to Hashem, that this is well. My heart is steadfast, O Hashem. It relies on you when you treat me by the attribute of stern judgment, and my heart is steadfast when you treat me by the attribute of love and kindness. Then as then, I will sing and I will sing praises. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Ura kevodi, ura hanevel, ivechinor, or ira shochab. Awake my glory, awake lyre and harp, I will awake the dawn. The singer addresses that aspect of the soul within him called kavod, glory. He says, awake my glory, awake and be inspired, my soul. Awake lyre and harp, bestir yourselves. I will awake the dawn as the time for song, as it says in Eov, when the morning stars sang together. According to our sages, David said, it never happened that midnight passed and I was asleep. Rav Zeri says, until midnight he would drowse like a horse, thereafter he would overpower himself like a lion. Rav Ashi says, till midnight he would be immersed in Torah study, thereafter taken up with songs and praises. David had a way of telling midnight. A harp was hung above his couch, and at midnight a north wind, Ruach Tzifonis, would blow, causing it to play. He would immediately stand up and devote himself to Torah study till the rise of the morning light. Accordingly, he says here, awake my glory, awake lyre and harp, I will awaken the dawn. A subtle interpretation says that Ruach Tzifonis refers to the excellent spirit. Ruach concealed Tzifonis within them. It would blow within him until he rose. Then he would awaken the dawn. Even in times of the most terrible tribulation, he did not collapse into despondency. He would take up the harp that hung above his couch and dissolve his despair by his tears as he sang and prayed to Hashem with great faith. In Yerushalmi Talmud it says, what would David do? He would place his lyre and harp over the head of his bed, and then at midnight he would rise and play upon them. The Torah scholars hearing him play would say, if King David is immersed in Torah study, we should certainly be doing the same. The present verse reflects the three factors that contribute to deeds of excellence. Inspiration that comes from inside oneself, external means, appropriate timing, corresponding to inner motivation. David says, awake my glory, corresponding to stimulation by external means. He says, awake lyre and harp, and corresponding to the timing, he says, I will wake the dawn. When David was in the cave, and Shaul fell into his hands, he said, my heart is steadfast, O Hashem, that I should not kill Shaul. I will sing and sing praises at not having set my hand against him. Therefore, this time, awake my glory, you who are now so debased. Awake lyre and harp, which I have almost forgotten how to play. I will awake the dawn, success will begin to shine. For Shaul's and his righteousness has now declared, you are more righteous than I. I know well that you will surely be king. I will awaken the dawn. Figuratively, it is as if the dawn was asleep, and the measure of night, the period of his troubles, was very long.
by sparing Shaul, it was as if he roused the dawn that terminated the night. A subtle interpretation relates the present pasuk to the exile of the Jewish people. The congregation of Israel says to the Shekhinah, "Awake, my glory, and leave the exile." She answers, "Awake, lyre and harp. Let me hear the music of your Torah study. Thereby I will awaken the dawn. Hashem will arouse the dawn to end the night of galus, of exile."
Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10.
Odecho va'amim adonoi azamercho bal umim. I will give thanks to you, O Hashem, among the nations. I will sing praises to you among the peoples. When I give thanks and sing praises, I am not alone. I will give thanks to you, O Hashem, among the nations, among the tribes of Israel. I will sing praises to you among the peoples, among the Jewish communities. Thus it says, they will call the nations Amim to the mountain, as found in Chumash Devarim. And it says, beyond you, Binyamin, in your tribes, B'mamecho, as Pasuk is found in Sefer Shoftim. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Ki gadol ad shamayim chastecho v'ad shachokim amitecho. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens, and your truth to the skies. Why must I give thanks and sing praises? For your loving kindness is great, so great that it reaches to the heavens, and your truth to the skies. You will fulfill what you have promised, for your truth is so great it reaches to the skies. As it says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so his loving kindness is great towards them that fears him. This is a pasuk that's found later on in Sefer Tehillim. Great to the heavens, all stand in need of your mercy and loving kindness, from the gnat inside the earth all the way up to the archangels. I said that you are exalted above the heavens, but your supervision is constantly upon the earth, for without it everything would return to emptiness and desolation. The Talmud says, the Rava asks, how is it that it says here, for your loving kindness is great to the heavens? And it says, for your loving kindness is great above the heavens. The answer is that here it refers to those who act without ulterior motives, and there it refers to those who act with ulterior motives. This concurs with the teaching of Yehuda in the name of Rav, that a man should always occupy himself with the Torah and perform mitzvahs, even if not from pure motives. By acting out of impure motives, he will come to act out of pure motives. When you act out of ulterior motives, your love and kindness is great to the heavens, only in this netherworld. But when you are a tzaddik and act out of pure motives, your truth is to the skies, shchokim. This refers to the reward of the righteous b'shchokim. In the skies, in the world to come, their mun is ground up, shuchakim, for the righteous. Pasuk 12. Ruma al shamayim alikim al kol ha'oretz kevedecho. Be exalted, O Hashem, above over the heavens. Your glory be above over all the earth. The singer repeats once again, for emphasis, his earlier plea. Your loving kindness is great to the heavens, and your truth to the skies, for you created them. Although in the end they will be destroyed, nevertheless, your loving kindness and your truth are evident in your having created them. Indeed, your sovereignty will be splendidly evident when you raise your arm against the process of nature to judge your world by the pattern of your miraculous supervision. The pasuk also speaks of the future, when Hashem will command the celestial host on high. It will be said on high, "You are exalted, O Hashem." When He then commands all the kings on earth, it will be said upon the earth, "Your glory is over all the earth." Chapter 58. Pasuk 1. Am Nesayach al Tashches to David Michtob, for the conductor al Tashches do not destroy. Pasuk Beis Ha'umnom Eilem Tzedek to Zaberim Yishorim Tishpetub Nei Odom. The Psalm of David, a Michtob, are you indeed silent? You are to speak justice. You are to judge people uprighteously. In this Psalm, David warns against judges who pervert justice. Some say that he refers to Abner the son of Ner and the other princes and ministers of Shaul. They condemned him for rebelling against the throne and thereby justified Shaul's vindictive pursuit of him to take his life.
Accordingly, our sages teach, Shaul said to David, you are more righteous than I, as found in Shmuel Aleph.